بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last time we were talking about the obligations of the heart. Tonight, inshallah, we'll continue talking about this subject. Among the obligations of the heart is to exalt the rights of Allah. To exalt the rights of Allah. It is an obligation to exalt the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of this glorious religion. These rights are the matters that are famous to be among the matters of the religion of Islam, like Adhan. The Adhan is among the rights of this great religion. Al-Hajj is also among the rights of this great religion. To be present at Arafah, where you stay there for a period of time. The mosques are among the rights of this religion, and the like. The one who degrades any of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of the religion, commits blasphemy. So we have to exalt these rights of the religion. Some people, unfortunately, when talking about Hajj, they say there are some acts in the Hajj that doesn't make sense. They say about some of the acts of the Hajj, and they say they don't make sense. They say there's no meaning for it, for that thing. And this is, of course, degrading one of the rights of the religion. The one who degrades the mosques as well commits a blasphemy. The one who degrades Al-Adhan. It was narrated that there was a person who used to make the call for prayer, Adhan, for each prayer. And each time he makes the call for prayer, makes the Adhan, a person used to mock him. And he used to say, "Look at him, making a sound like the sound of the donkey." He used to mock that person because he's making Adhan, and he used to say, "Look, he's making a sound similar to the sound of the donkey." He used to mock the Adhan. When this person died and they buried him, people started hearing like a sound of a donkey coming out of his grave, because he used to mock Al-Adhan. Also, it was narrated that during the time of a Salaf, people were going to acquire the knowledge about religion. And one of the scholars who were with them mentioned the hadith for them. He told them the hadith that says, "Innal malaikata latadu'u ajnihataha li talib al-'ilm ridan bima yasna." Which means, when the angels see a person who is acquiring the knowledge about religion, the angels would lower their wings out of humbleness to this person to show that he's doing a great and honored act, which is acquiring the knowledge about religion. When someone heard this, he said, "Wal'ayyazu billah, watch out so you won't break the wings of the angels while walking." So he was mocking the hadith. And upon saying this, he became paralyzed and he was unable to walk. So the one who mocks any of the rites of the religion or degrades any of the rites of the religion commits kufr wal-iyazu billah. Also among the obligations of the heart is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his endowments. And how one would be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the endowments Allah bestowed upon him. For instance, Allah gave you countless endowments. You can't count them. One of them is the sight, hearing, talking, walking. All these are from the endowments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon you. How you would be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these endowments, you do not use them in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not use them in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want these endowments to last, use them in acts of obedience. Do not look at something that is haram. Do not listen to something that is haram. Do not talk with something or utter with something that is haram. Do not walk to something that is haram. Do not use your hands in something that is haram. Use all the endowments bestowed upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience and in something that is not haram. Something permissible. By doing so, you are considered as being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is considered as the obligatory thanking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the obligatory thanking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't use these endowments in disobeying Allah. One of the great Shafi'i scholars called Al-Qadi Abu Shuja', may Allah raise his rank, he lived more than 130 years. And despite his old age, his sight was perfect. His hearing was perfect. His health was perfect. They asked him about the secret behind this. They said to him, you are about 130 and your senses are perfect and your health is perfect. How is that? He said to them, we protected them from sinning when we were young and Allah preserved them for us when we became old. So if you want these endowments to last, do not use them in acts of disobedience. Use them in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in permissible matters. This is called the obligatory thanking. The optional thanking, that's the other one, which is sunnah, is to say, for instance, by your tongue, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. This is optional. This is optional. To say Alhamdulillah many times, praise be to Allah. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your tongue. This is optional. This is not an obligation. The obligatory thanking is to use the endowments bestowed upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acts of obedience. This is the obligatory thanking. The optional thanking, which is the sunnah thanking, is to do what? Is to say, for instance, Alhamdulillah by your tongue. A person might say after dawn prayer 100 times, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. This is the verbal thanking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is sunnah. It is not an obligation. That's the verbal thanking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thanking is of two types, the obligatory thanking and the sunnah thanking. The obligatory one is to use the endowments bestowed upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acts of obedience. However, the sunnah thanking is to use verbal statements that contain thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as saying, Alhamdulillah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi. You make a type of verbal thanking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also among the obligations of the heart is to be patient in performing the obligations, to be patient in refraining from sinning, and to be patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted one. So there are three types of patience. Patience is of three types. The first type is to be patient in performing the acts of obedience, the acts of worship that are obligations. Now, to be patient in performing the obligations, that means when you wake up in the morning and it's very cold night, you don't have hot water and you want to make wudu, so you use cold water in a cold night, you have to be patient. So here you are being patient in performing the obligations. Also in Ramadan, when you are in a very hot country, and when Ramadan is in summer, and you are patient in performing this obligation. So you fast from dawn till sunset, and you find difficulty in performing that obligation, but despite that difficulty, you continue and you perform the obligation. This is the first type of patience, to be patient in performing the obligations. The second type is to be patient in refraining from the sins. You have to control your desires and inclinations. Although you yourself might tell you to commit that haram, but you oppose your inclinations, your bad inclinations, and you don't do it, and you control your actions, and you do not commit that sin. This is called patience by refraining from what is forbidden. And this is harder than the first one. Sometimes you might be in need to money, for instance, and you find in front of you a way where you can get money, but from a haram source. So here, you might incline to do that thing, but to oppose your bad inclinations and to refrain from committing that sin and stealing, you have to be patient. This is called patience in refraining from the sins. The third type is to be patient with the calamities inflicted upon you. Now, every one of us might be inflicted in this life with different types of calamities. When you get sick, you have a problem in your body, this is a type of infliction. So you have to be patient. And here when we say to be patient, you have to be patient, this means you do not object to Allah's decree and Allah's will. You do not say, "Oh Allah, why are you doing this to me?" And you object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because objecting to Allah when one is inflicted with a calamity is blasphemous. Objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general is blasphemous. In any of Allah's orders, in any of Allah's orders and Allah's decrees, if you object to Allah, that means you don't like that decree and you show your objection to it. You say, "Oh Allah, why are you doing this to me?" So as if you are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He willed for you, this is blasphemous. The first one who objected to Allah's will and Allah's decree was Satan. And Satan used to be a believer. And he is the first jinn Allah created. He is the father of jinn and the father of devils. He is the first jinn Allah created. Satan used to live in paradise and his name was Azazil. Then, later on, he objected to Allah's decree. He objected to Allah's decree. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to make sujood to Adam out of glorification and salutation, to Adam alayhi salam, because Adam is better than him. Here, out of jealousy, he rejected this order and he objected to Allah's order and he said, why should I make prostration to Adam? I'm better than him. You've created me from fire and you created him from clay. So he objected to Allah's decree and Allah's order, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banished him out of paradise. And after he got banished and cursed for committing blasphemy, he was called Iblis. And Iblis is an Arabic name, word, that means the one who is far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he was called Iblis. Means he is far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the third type of patience is to be patient with one is inflicted with. If you get inflicted in your body, in your health, you have to be patient. If you get inflicted in your money, you lost some of your money, you have to be patient. You do not object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people might die when they lose their money. Some people might commit blasphemy when they lose their money. And they start committing blasphemy, wal'ayyazu billah, swearing at Allah because they lost their money, wal'ayyazu billah. They do not rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do not accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for them. They object to Allah's will. In the Arabic Peninsula in the past, there was a valley called the Valley of Al-Jawf. In that valley, there was a person who was Muslim who had four sons. And this person lived as a Muslim for 40 years. After 40 years, and after living in that valley, that was very green valley. It was very green. It had nice trees in it. It has rivers passing through it. It was a very green and nice place. He used to live there with his sons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. Allah sent a thunderstorm. And that thunderstorm came on his children, his sons, and they died all at once. All of them. With that thunderstorm. They all died. Like lightning hit them and they died. So when that happened, instead of being patient, this person objected to Allah's will. And he said, wal'ayyazu billah, why you did that to me? Then he said, I won't worship you anymore. He committed blasphemy. And he didn't stop at that extent, he went further. He started catching anyone who passes by his valley, by that valley, and tell him to commit blasphemy as well. If that person refuses to commit blasphemy, he would kill him. And if he says the word of blasphemy, he would let him free. Until after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his power, made a great fire emerge from this valley. And this great fire burnt the whole valley and everything in it and burned that person as well. So he died as a blasphemer after being Muslim for 40 years. Why? Because he objected to Allah's will. He wasn't patient with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted him with. So the person has to be patient. If a lady loses her son, she has to be patient. She shouldn't say, oh Allah, why are you doing this to me? Or he's still a child, he's still young. Allah does whatever he wills. We and everything we own is in fact owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we own is owned by Allah. We and our children and our money all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah takes your son away from you, Allah is taking what is his, not what is yours, because you don't own anything. You and what you own and your children, your family, you all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you have to be patient. Especially like at the first time, the first impact of the calamity, when you receive the news. Here some people, they lose their minds. When you receive the news that something happened to one of your family members, be patient. Say Alhamdulillah. Train yourself to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and to be patient. Look at this strange story, subhanallah. It happened in Lebanon. It's one of the strangest stories. But there is a great lesson behind it. Listen to this story. There was a lady in Lebanon whose husband had gone to Germany to work. He was working there and she was in Lebanon. After a while, she received the news that your husband had an accident and he died. Now, upon receiving the news that her husband died, she didn't get patient. She wasn't patient at all. Instead, she did what is considered Islamically haram, lamenting and wailing. And she started hitting her face, smacking her face with her hands, hard, like strongly. Then after that, she had a nervous breakdown and they took her to the hospital. In the hospital, they tried to treat her. Then suddenly, she started having a swell in her right cheek. Her right cheek started swelling because she hit her cheeks, her face, strongly. And it started swelling. They said she needs an operation. They took her to the operation room and they made an operation surgery for her. Then she went out. The following day, her left cheek started getting swollen, started swelling. Then they said she needs another operation for the left cheek. They did an operation for the left cheek. Then after that, the swell started going up to the brain. Then she had a swell in her brain. Until after that, she died. After a while, 1, 2, 3 weeks, someone called them and they said, look, tell that lady that her husband didn't die. It was just an accident and he's fine now. And after he leaves the hospital, he will talk to her. What did she do? She wasn't patient. She disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She started lamenting and wailing and hitting her face, smacking her face, which is a major sin, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And she ended up losing her husband. But not her husband is the one who died at that time. She died by committing that sin. Wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. Be patient and say, oh Allah, I ask you to make me patient in this problem and to grant me the rewards of being patient and to substitute me with something better from what I've lost. This is what you should say, not to object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also among the obligations of the heart is to hate the devils. To hate the devils is also among the obligations of the heart. Because Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. It means certainly the devil is your enemy. Hence, take him as an enemy. You don't take him as a friend. Now, there are some people, unfortunately, who defend devils, defend them. There are people who worship devils these days. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. All the blasphemers amongst the jinn are called devils. Not all the jinn are devils. Jinn are like human beings. Distinct creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are males and females. They reproduce. They get married. And they have offspring, children. Some of them are believers. Others are non-believers. The non-believers amongst the jinn are called devils. And the great-grandfather of all the jinn is Iblis. And he is also the head of the devils. Also amongst the obligations of the heart is to hate sins. So among the obligations of the heart is to hate sins. Even if the person oneself commits a sin, one has to hate it. Also, if you know of a sin committed by someone else, you have to hate it in your heart. You don't show that you agree with that person with what he did, which is forbidden, which is a sin. So if you know of a person who committed a sin, or someone tells you, do you know what that person did? He did such and such, which is haram. You have to hate that sin in your heart. If someone tells you, I've done this, like for instance, I went with a girl and I did such and such with her, which is forbidden, you do not show agreement with this person. Now you have to say to him, you have to hate that sin and show to that person your disagreement with what he did. So you do not show any agreement with that person because he's committing that sin. Also among the obligations of the heart is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to love Allah means to exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proper belief. And also to love the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an. And that means to believe in it and to exalt it in the proper way. And also to love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that means as well to love the Prophet, to honor him, and to follow his methodology. And we exalt Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to exalt him up to that extent. We do not exaggerate in glorifying the Prophet. So the Prophet is the last Prophet and Messenger. The Prophet is the most beloved creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all the creations. He is the best of all prophets and messengers. He's the last of them. We say this. We do not exaggerate. There is no need to exaggerate in glorifying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people, wal-ayyazu billah, exaggerate to an extent that they say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows everything Allah knows. This is exaggeration. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. If someone says Prophet Muhammad knows everything Allah knows, he's wal-ayyazu billahi ta'ala equalizing in this case, making equity between God and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's making them equal, and this is shirk, blasphemy, wal-ayyazu billahi ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad knows only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him about. He doesn't know all what Allah knows, because Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ all the inhabitants of the skies and the inhabitants of the earth do not know about the whole unforeseen al-ghayb, and Allah is the only one who knows about the whole unforeseen. So there is no one amongst the inhabitants of the skies or earth who knows about the whole unforeseen. And this ayah means, tell them that Allah is the only one who knows about the whole unforeseen. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his camel, the non-believers started laughing at him. They said to the Prophet, you claim that you received the revelation from the sky and you don't know where did you lose your camel? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, I only know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, and go and you'll find it in that place. Because at that time, at that moment, Jibreel came down and informed him where his camel is. They went there and they found it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not know except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. He doesn't know the whole unforeseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدَعًا مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. In this ayah, O Muhammad, tell him that I don't know what's going to happen to me and what's going to happen to you. I only follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to me. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know the whole unforeseen. And another thing, another proof, is that on the Day of Judgment, that's in Sahih al-Bukhari as well, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see some people being pushed away from him, from his basin, al-Hawd. They've been pushed away. And he would say, these are people of my nation. Then it will be said to the Prophet, you don't know what did they do after your death. So he didn't know. Also, another proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَدُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعْلَمُوهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُوهُمْ سَنُعَذِّبُوهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. This ayah refers to one of the great hypocrites in Medina called Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was a hypocrite in faith. Hypocrite in faith means amongst those who used to show outwardly that they are Muslims, while in fact, inwardly, they were non-believers. The Prophet didn't know him. There are people of Al-Madinah who exercised hypocrisy at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you, meaning Muhammad, did not know about them. Allah knows about them. Allah will torture them twice. And even when that person died, the Prophet didn't know he was a hypocrite. The Prophet used to think he was Muslim. So the Prophet prayed the funeral prayer for him, thinking that he's Muslim. After that, Allah revealed to the Prophet this ayah, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Do not pray the funeral prayer for any of them. Do not stand before their graves to make supplication for them, because they committed blasphemy and they died in that state. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this person died as a non-believer. Because the one who says that the Prophet knew before that he was a non-believer, and despite his knowledge about his situation, he prayed the funeral prayer for him, and Allah is telling him, do not pray for them, and he prayed for them. This means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is playing with religion. And this does not befit Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is considered as blasphemous. So whoever believes that the Prophet knew that Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was a hypocrite in faith, and he was a non-believer, and when he died, the Prophet prayed the funeral prayer for him, This is blasphemous. That means the Prophet is mucking around with religion. And this does not befit Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We honor him, but we do not exaggerate in glorifying the Prophet. We do not say about him, he knows everything Allah knows. No. The one who says that the knowledge of the Prophet is equal to the knowledge of Allah, as if he's saying the power of the Prophet is equal to the power of Allah. And this is kufr. This is shirk. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one doesn't get safe to say, yeah, but the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by Allah giving him that knowledge. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's different from the case with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people say this, they say Prophet Muhammad knows everything Allah knows, and then they say the knowledge of Allah is one of his attributes, the eternal attribute, but the knowledge of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is granted to the Prophet by Allah. And they say that Allah gave him or granted him the knowledge of everything. This is still blasphemous. One wouldn't be saved if he says even that this knowledge of the Prophet was granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, some people exaggerate in glorifying Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to an extent that they believe Prophet Muhammad was not a human being. No, Prophet Muhammad is a human being. His mother is Amina. She gave birth to him as any lady would give birth to her child. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as his mother mentioned, when he was born, a great illumination of light came out with him to an extent that it illuminated and revealed the palaces of Asham to her. She was able to see the palaces of Asham from that great illumination of light. But he was born as any child would be born. Subhanallah, there were some special things that happened to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One thing is that he was born with his umbilical cord already cut and tied. And this is also, that's for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was circumcised already. But to say that Prophet Muhammad was not a human being, this is in contrary to the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Tell them that you are a human being like them. يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. He's a human being, but he receives revelation from Allah, so he's a prophet and messenger. So he's not an object that is made up of light. He's not an object that is made up of light, as some claim. Some people say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a body made up of light. And that they mean you can't grasp him. And they say, Our Lady Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, wanted to put the izar, what is worn to cover the bottom part of the body, around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she wanted to tie it, they say, and she made a knot in the air, because there was no body, just like a beam of light in front of her. This is in contrary to the ayah, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. In some books, unfortunately also, that are filled with misconceptions and false beliefs, one of them is called Mawlid al-Arus. In that book, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a part of his face, which is, they say, a great illumination of light, and said to it, be Muhammad, and it was Muhammad. This means that Allah is a great illumination of light like the sun, and they believe that Prophet Muhammad is part of God, wa'liyazu billah. This is blasphemous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. And this ayah means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that can be divided into parts. Things can be extracted from Him. And He's not something that is extracted from something else. Because to get extracted from something, or for something to be extracted from that thing, these are the characteristics of the objects and the bodies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body and not an object. So this is blasphemous as well. You have to be warned against such a blasphemous belief. Among the obligations of the heart is to love the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, who is the companion of the Prophet? The companion is the one who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ordinary way while believing in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and died as a believer. This is called the companion, the one who met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the ordinary way while believing in him and died as a believer. Why we said in the ordinary way? Because during the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam met all the prophets in Jerusalem, in Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Prophet led them in the prayer. Do we say about the prophets that they are the companions of the Prophet? No. Why? Because the way they met with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a usual way. It was not an ordinary way. We have to love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they are the ones who supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from whom we got our religion. The one who accuses all the companions with betrayal commits blasphemy. Because how did we get our religion now? Through who? Through the companions. The companions learned from the Prophet. The companions taught the followers. The followers taught the followers of the followers, and so on, till this great knowledge reached us. So to say that all the companions of the Prophet were betrayers, wal'iyadhu billah, and they are not trustworthy, that means we cannot trust anything that reached us from this glorious religion. So the one who accuses all the companions with betrayal commits a blasphemy. We have to love the companions, especially those who were from the first batches to enter Islam, like the ones who immigrated with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, and those who supported Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and they were called Al-Ansar. So Al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضُيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Meaning that those great companions among the first batches to embrace Islam, and those who immigrated from Mecca to Medina with the Prophet, and those who supported the Prophet in Medina, and all those who followed them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted them and Allah raised their ranks. So to say about them that they are betrayers, this is against the Quran and this is blasphemous, wal'iyadhu billahi ta'ala. Also Al-Al, we have to love Al-Al of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Al-Al, this word, Arabic word Al-Al, when we say Al-Al, you know, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. You say Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Who is meant by Al? Al can refer to many meanings. In our religion, when we say Ali Muhammad, we could mean all the pious followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the pious followers till the day of judgment. Those we must love them, we must love them because they are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ordered us to love them. Even in the prayer, what do we say? As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. So here in this ayah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give good things to the righteous slaves and to us. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. So Allah ordered us to love them. Allah ordered us to honor them. That's how we have to love them. And those are the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are pious, righteous. Another meaning for the al is the Muslim relatives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including his wives. Those are called al as well. We have to love them as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, there are two matters which if you adhere to, you will never go astray after my death: the Book of Allah and my al. And here the al is referred to the Muslim relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that includes his wives as well. Up to here, inshallah ta'ala, we finished talking about the obligations of the heart. Inshallah, next week we'll be talking about the sins of the heart. So by this you know what you have to put in your heart and what you have to clear your heart from. And by doing so, your heart becomes clean. And when your heart is clean, it will reflect on your limbs and your senses, and you will act in accordance with what is in your heart. And as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is a piece inside the body, small piece inside the body. When healthy, the whole body will be healthy. And when diseased, the whole body will be diseased. Certainly it is the heart. So if the heart is corrupted, the whole body will be corrupted. If the heart is good, the whole body will be good. That's why, brothers and sisters, you have to make sure that you are protecting your heart from what damages your heart, from what corrupts your heart. And don't make your heart harden. Don't make it harden. Keep it soft. How do you keep it soft? By making a lot of zikr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that hearts will rust as iron metal rusts. See how metal rusts? Hearts will rust. And the cure for this rust is making istighfar, saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So when you make istighfar and other types of zikr, this will clean your heart, keep it clean all the time. And if you leave it, it will rust. When it will rust, it becomes very easy for a person to commit sins. And also, keep the fear of God in your heart. One of the scholars of Islam said, the heart that doesn't have the fear of God in it is a corrupted one. If you don't have the fear of God in your heart will be corrupted. That's why you have to keep fear of God in your heart. If you have it and you're strengthening this fear in your heart, that will definitely reflect on your limbs and your actions, and you will behave and act in accordance to what is in your heart, and you will see a great improvement in your actions. This is because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from inside. One of the scholars said, the one who doesn't have something in your heart that stops him from doing bad things will not listen to anyone. Because originally you have to have in your heart that thing that directs you. So if your heart is a healthy one, will direct you to do the good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us more knowledge about Islam and bestow upon us His mercy and assemble us with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.